This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name's Anne, and I'm one of the leaders here, and it's a great privilege to get to talk to you today. And this morning we're going to be talking about Palm Sunday. Today is Palm Sunday, and I'm hoping that when you leave here this morning, you'll understand a bit more about what Palm Sunday is and not end up in a situation like this chap over on the screen. A bit unfortunate. The children and the young people are going to be learning about Palm Sunday in all the groups this morning, starting from about age 3. We think the little ones might not quite get it, but they'll give it a go. The under 3s are... shouldn't be trusted with palm branches, I don't think. So this weekend, we are joining with churches around the world in remembering Palm Sunday, remembering when Jesus triumphantly came into Jerusalem. And now you might be very, very familiar with this story, or you might be sat here this morning, what is she talking about, palms and pom-poms, and really what's going on here? But my hope for you this morning is that you will leave here with a deeper understanding of what Palm Sunday is all about. And as we reflect on something that happened over 2,000 years ago, that it will become very relevant to our lives this week as we just prepare for Easter next Sunday. So Palm Sunday marks the start of what's known as Holy Week. So we start today, and then Thursday is Maundy Thursday, when we remember Jesus' Last Supper, the Passover meal that he celebrated with his disciples. On Friday, some of us may well be up on Ilkley Moor, others gathered in Headingley or elsewhere, remembering Good Friday. Remembering when Jesus died on the cross. And I don't know if any of you know or have been to the Otley Chevin, but there's a huge cross up on the top of the Chevin, which I love as a... is remembering, bringing it back into our daily lives. And then next Sunday is Easter Sunday, celebrating not just, as my children keep telling me, Easter eggs and the Easter bunny, but actually, more importantly, that Jesus rose from the dead. And that's the framework in which we find ourselves today. And I don't know about you, but I find it really helpful in the run-up to Easter to just remember and not just rush into it, but to take a bit of time to just give ourselves the context. So that's what we'll do this morning. Now, a few weeks ago, we heard from Sally Wallace about how her understanding of who Jesus is has changed and developed over time, and about how she took time to call on the name of Jesus, and it has profoundly changed her experience of who Jesus is to her and in her life. And if you've not listened to that talk, I'd really encourage you to get on the website and have a listen. And today I'm going to share with you how my understanding of how Jesus has changed as I've learnt more about Palm Sunday. I think it's no coincidence or accident that I'm speaking to you this morning. This is a story which is a key part of my understanding of who Jesus is. And the more I've learnt, the more I've studied it, the more I've just taken time to stop and think about it, the more it has shaped and influenced the person of Jesus who I know today. Now, as I say, it's always been a highlight for me. I grew up in Singapore, and the church I went to there went to huge lengths to retell the story. It almost feels like it is drilled into my head, because it was a huge highlight of the church year upon year upon year. And bits of it have stuck with me. And so today we're going to take a look at Palm Sunday in Mark, which we've been reading from the last few weeks. And we do have some Mark's Gospels and a couple of Bibles. So if one of those would be helpful for you, just make yourself known. The welcome team are going to bring those for you to take a look at. And Mark is found in the New Testament, kind of the second half or so of the Bible, written after Jesus was born. And it's the second book, just after Matthew, if you're looking at a full Bible rather than one of these. So I'm going to read this to you, and then I'll share with you what I remember from my childhood and how that has shaped and developed over time. And then we'll dig a bit deeper. So Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem, and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. And as they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing, untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. We'll be referring back to that over the morning. But before I go any further, let me pray. Lord Jesus, as we explore this passage together, would you reveal your truth about what it means to us? I pray that you would let anything I say which is helpful stick in people's minds, but that which is unhelpful or distracting to just be gone quickly. I pray that you'd bring your fresh revelation about who you are, that you are Jesus the King. Would you speak to us even more this morning? Amen. So as I said, growing up in Singapore, the church building was very different to this one. We had big open walls. The walls kind of weren't full walls. They had lots of holes in them. Ceiling fans, multiple aisles. It was a very different kind of setting. And I remember the year that whoever was organising the Palm Sunday service got a donkey, got hundreds of palm branches. I remember having to move them around the church. That was hard work. And we were going to reenact the story. Now, I remember being very indignant, probably as a 10-year-old girl, that I was not in the running to play the part of Jesus in this reenactment. I didn't really see that why that was fair, but the boys did win the argument that Jesus was male, and therefore one of them will get the part. I remember being very cross about this for quite a long time afterwards. But we did get hundreds of palm branches and laid them all the way up the three aisles of the church. I also remember having to tidy them all the way afterwards. That wasn't quite so fun. And then we had those palm crosses. Has anyone ever had palm crosses? And much to my grandmother's annoyance, I used to leave them in all the kind of places in her car, in the little pockets, down the window. I used to wedge them in the window. She wasn't keen on that. And I used to unwrap them and write notes to my friends and wrap them back up again. Or use them as swords. That was another good one. All kinds of things went on with these palm crosses and these palm branches, but I can still remember them. And I remember, I think I kind of got that Jesus was a key part of the story. That's why I wanted to be Jesus on the, it was partly about the donkey, it was part about, that was quite an important thing to do. But I missed the point. I entirely missed the point as a child. I understood that it was a big deal. We didn't have donkeys most weeks. I mean, you know, someone had gone to a lot of trouble for this. It was clearly important. But I think in my heart of hearts, I thought, well, there's Easter with its chocolate. There's Christmas with its presents and chocolate. And there's Palm Sunday with some leaves. What's, like, really? This was my child understanding of the story. I've learned a lot since then. And the story has taken on a new level of meaning for me the more I've taken the time to understand it. So let's go back to the story, and I'll share with you some of what I've learned over time. So verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Let's just stop there. So who? Let's set, I don't know about you, I find it really useful to understand the context. So we know there's a they, and we know there's Jesus. And if you read the chapter beforehand, it talks about a crowd. So I'd like you to get the picture in your head if you're a visual person. There's Jesus, there's disciples, but there's all a whole group of people gathering. And they're on their way to Jerusalem. They're going to celebrate Passover in Jerusalem, and I don't think we truly understand what that would be like now. It wasn't just Jesus going. It wasn't just the disciples going. It was all of the Jewish people in the area descending on Jerusalem, literally from the Mount of Olives, descending and then rising up out of the valley into Jerusalem. I'd imagine looking round and just in the same way on a Sunday we see people coming from Headingley and you see them at the traffic lights, but thousands. Historians reckon some say 200,000, some say even more. I don't think we can quite understand the scale of that, but there are people joining in with this group and gathering together. And Passover, for those of you who are thinking, what's Passover? Passover was all about celebrating, remembering how God had set the Jewish people free from slavery in Egypt, how Moses had led them to freedom. And it was, and it still is, a huge celebration in the Jewish calendar. We live in quite a Jewish area, and there's adverts for Passover everywhere. There is a building excitement where we live of Passover. It's about to be Passover. If you want to read more about that celebration, if in your Bible you look at Exodus chapter 12, that's all about the story of Passover. And why Jerusalem, you might say? Why did they pick Jerusalem? Well, a king called Solomon had built a temple there, which became the central point for the Jewish people in the area. So Passover was a pilgrimage to this temple. And it continued to be a focal place for the Jewish people until about AD 70, when the temple was demolished by the Romans. And then people reverted back to what happens a lot now of meeting together in their homes with family to celebrate Passover, a bit like perhaps we do at Christmas, just gathering together with family to celebrate and remember. So this Thursday, that's what will be happening in and around Leeds and across the world, people gathering together to remember. So they came to Bethany. Now, Bethany, I'm a geography student, and the maps just help me. But Bethany was about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem, and it's probably where Jesus' friend Lazarus lived. So Jesus might well have stopped in at Lazarus' house. We don't know. But it was the top of a ridge, and people still go and walk this journey that Jesus took. It's quite a I guess it's quite a tourist attraction now, but you can go and walk this route of Palm Sunday, and they go down the valley and then up into Jerusalem. And I don't know about you, but in considering the scope of the Holy Week I talked about, for me it's a bit like they're going down, but they're coming up again. There's something good coming. That helps me. As a child, I'd have thought, oh, it's another hill, but my understanding is different now. So Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. That sounds quite simple. And as a child, I think I probably just went, great. But now I find myself going, how did Jesus know? How did Jesus know there was going to be a colt there? And the more I read the Bible, I see the way this is written is a bit like how other stories in the Bible are written about when people just know stuff. God just tells them. Some people could argue that Jesus had arranged with a friend. Maybe someone had gone in advance and set something up so there would be a cult there. But Jesus was the Son of God, and I think he just knew. God just told him. And that, what excites me about that, is that's something we see here. We see in our everyday now. We ask God to speak to us, and God can give us information which can help us in the future. It doesn't have to be scary or unusual, but it's just those, we call them words of knowledge. God gives us words of knowledge about something that's happening that can change what happens next. Maybe it's through an impression you have about something, a kind of gut instinct. Or maybe sometimes when we describe praying for people, you have a pain in your body which isn't really yours, and you know that that's God's given you something to help lead you to pray for someone else, to release his healing. And if you'd like to experience God talking to you more like that, if you'd like to have more words of knowledge, I'd love to pray for you later. That would be the case, that it isn't just Jesus who knows about the colt tied up, but that we too can know about things where God wants to highlight things for us. But for now, back to our story. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly. Now, how interesting. I don't know how you'd feel about the modern day equivalent. Imagine this, knock on the door, doorbell goes. Hello, can I have your car keys, please? The Lord needs it, and we'll return it shortly. I don't know about you. I think the door will be closed quite quickly. There's something about how it is said which changes the situation. And again, as a child, I don't think I thought too much of this. I just thought, yeah, okay, just hand over things. And I grew up, my dad was the vicar of the church we were at, and a lot of the stuff in our house wasn't really ours. It was church's. So we had kind of our toys, which we could squirrel away in our bedrooms, and church toys, which had to be shared. And we had these welcome lunches at our house once a month, and when all the children descended, everything had to be shared. So I had this sense of it's kind of mine to use when everyone else isn't here, but it's equally not mine. But even with that as my backdrop, this is so, so difficult. Still, I don't know about you, but when someone wants to borrow things, some of the things that go through my head are, but what if I need it while you have it? And I worked for this, or are you going to look after it? Will I ever see it again? And these things come up, and I have to choose to trust people and share things and live a different way. Even preparing for this, and thinking about it, I was thinking, oh, well, they are my things to share. And I just felt God saying to me, they're not, Anne. They're not yours. They're my things. They're God's things. He's blessed me with lots, and I try to be generous and live like they're his, but it's a constant, constant work to reset my way of thinking. And I wouldn't advocate anyone, if the doorbell rings, that you just hand your keys over to a complete stranger, no matter how good their story. But there's something about lending your car keys to a friend, helping people who are in trouble, offering lifts. I don't know what it is in your situation, but if we can respond, and this is the key bit, respond to what God is asking you to do, which may not be the demand you see around you. Now, Mark, as good as Mark's gospel is, doesn't include part of the story which I really love. So I'm going to jump you across into Matthew just for a moment. Matthew 21, verses 4 to 5, explains, this falls at this point in the story, just after the colt has been given. It says, this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And here in Matthew is quoting the prophet Zechariah. And if you want to, you can read Zechariah 9, verse 9. And Zechariah was an Old Testament prophet who wrote this 500 years before Jesus lived. So 500 years before Jesus was even born, Zechariah said, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey. And I don't know about you, one of the things I love about learning more about the Bible is seeing whether things that were written by those faithful prophets actually turn into reality. And here we see Jesus riding on a donkey, but not just a donkey, on a colt, just like Zechariah had foretold. So, back to Mark again. They went and found a colt outside in the street and tied at a doorway. And as they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing, untying that colt?" And they answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. Reading this again now as an adult, there's something about they did what Jesus told them to. And it is Jesus' name which we see brings that authority that people respond to. The disciples managed to hear it, the words straight out of Jesus' mouth, but I bet they were still thinking, really? Really, Jesus? We're here, it's like the busiest point. Okay, if you say so, we'll do as you've asked. And they still didn't always get in. They still questioned and doubted. But we have that same, we have access to those same words, to that same authority. And I think, as I talked about before with those words of knowledge, if we learn to hear Jesus' voice in our life, learn to trust our, maybe it's our gut instincts, maybe it's pictures, maybe it's words, maybe it's Bible passages coming to us. If we learn to trust that voice, then we operate with that same authority that the disciples did. I find it harder to get my head around. I find it much easier if Jesus could just be here and say, "Anne, could you do and do this?" Okay, off we go. But we have that same authority. And if you would like to step into using that more, again, I'd love to pray for you this morning. It's here. It's here for the taking. And when God asks us to do something, and it's not just based on our own good ideas, we'd be surprised at the authority that we have, the things that we can see happening. And as a church, as we make plans to be present in Headingley and bless this community, we're choosing first to listen to what God is saying to us. We want God to speak to us, and then we want to do the things that he's asked us to do. We don't want to go on our own great ideas. And we want to trust what he's saying. So now, the part of the story which really captivated me as a child, Jesus actually on the donkey. Because this, you know, this in my thinking, this was the key bit. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Quite simple. And many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Now, as a child, I was thinking, a donkey? Like a donkey? Donkeys are a bit, I don't know, I was just thinking of Eeyore, I think. Not very impressive. But Jesus, there were some funny choices along the way as well, being born in a stable, a career as a carpenter. And this is the thing, this will make you laugh if you know me well. I remember being aware that Jerusalem would have been very busy. And my first thought was, well, a donkey wouldn't be very sensible then. You'd be better off on foot to maneuver around all the people. So this was what I was wrestling with as a child. The details, which weren't really the details. And also my understanding of donkeys. My only experience of donkeys was donkeys in zoos. And donkeys like Eeyore. But let me read this to you from Smith's Bible Dictionary. I found this quite good. The donkey in Eastern countries is a very different animal from what he is in Western Europe. The most noble and honourable amongst the Jews were mounted on donkeys. For us, the donkey is a sign of stubbornness and stupidity, while in the East, it is especially remarkable for its patience, gentleness, intelligence, meek submission, and great power of endurance. The donkey was the animal of peace, as the horse was the animal of war. Hence the appropriateness of Christ in his triumphal entry riding on a donkey. The wild donkey is a beautiful animal, and that in its fleetness it equals the gazelle. And to overtake it is a feat which only one or two of the most celebrated mares have been known to accomplish. So the donkey wasn't a funny choice at all. The donkey is what the Jewish kings rode on. The donkey symbolized gentleness and submission, which, as we look ahead to Good Friday, the submission becomes key. And the branches and the cloaks being spread out on the road for Jesus. You have to picture a dusty road. A dusty road. And this was like a royal red carpet spread out for the king coming through. And the more I learn this and the more I picture this, I'm quite a visual person, the more I picture the specialness of in a busy, crowded street, the branches being thrown down and people stepping to the side, and through comes Jesus. I really like the header in my Bible, which calls it the triumphant entry. And the more I study it, this is what I see. So the last bit, we read, those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Can you imagine being there on that day? Picture this now. The crowds were building as thousands upon thousands of people were heading into Jerusalem, coming to celebrate Passover. Even putting Jesus to one side for the minute, the atmosphere in that city, the noise, the bustle on a busy street, it must have been incredible. And then suddenly, I can almost imagine the first person who heard it, "It's Jesus. Is Jesus coming? Is Jesus coming? Jesus is coming on the donkey. He's coming to fulfill what the prophet has said." And the crowds are gathering and branches are being thrown down. I mean, imagine your best coat and you're just on the ground, that recognition of this is Jesus. This is Jesus coming in on this donkey. And the words they're shouting, I think we just lose the significance here. This is verses from Psalm 118 that would have been sung in all the Jewish homes at this time. Hosanna. We sing it in some of our songs, but I don't know that we truly appreciate what it means, this Hosanna, Hosanna. Familiar words being sung in celebration of Jesus coming. They speak of hope and expectation, of something changing. And just as Passover is all about freedom from captivity, Jesus is coming and he brings freedom with him. God is going to intervene again. God is going to intervene again. And this is a high point for me in the story of Jesus' life. A time of real celebration, of expectation, of, I imagine people dancing in the streets. I imagine all just noise and bustle and excitement. And it's all going to be okay. The king is here. The king is here. It's all going to be okay. Everything changes. And for us now, we read this through the lens of this Holy Week, of knowing that in just 5 days' time on Good Friday, there will be huge sorrow and confusion as the people don't know what's happened. The king who just entered has now been betrayed and is crucified. Of Jerusalem gone from celebration to huge pain and suffering. But we know how it ends. We know what happens on Easter Sunday now. We know that Jesus will rise again, victorious. And we know that unlike an earthly king who would reign for a time and then be gone, that Jesus, our king, his reign goes on and on and on, like we sang, forever. His reign is forever. So this morning we've been looking at how Jesus was prophesied about as a king, and that the very nature of how he came into Jerusalem on a donkey fulfilled that prophecy. But now in our series about who is Jesus, we have a choice to make. Who is Jesus going to be to us? Will we let him be our king? Will we let him be king in our lives? Because he's not a king who comes in on a war horse demanding that we bow down and worship him. But he's a king who comes in gently, in peace. He comes on a donkey. And we have a choice to make. We can choose to respond by saying, Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. By preparing the way for him, and I like to picture for myself this, is just that laying down the things that are all for him, the things that perhaps I hold on to really tightly that are precious to me, and just laying them at Jesus' feet as he goes past. We can make space and welcome Jesus in. Or we can choose to reject the king and say, he can be king for you, but not for me. The very nature of the gentle king, who I love and worship, is that it's our choice. It's our choice entirely. So let's stand together and pray. And I think that when I was preparing for today, I thought that for some of you, this may well be the first time that you've ever really heard this story. Maybe it's been familiar, but it hasn't had any real significance or meaning for you. Or maybe you've just genuinely never really heard the story. And Easter is just about chocolate. And that for some of you, this Sunday is going to be really significant. And this Easter is significant because it marks something different. And an understanding that Jesus loves you and died for you and that he rose again and that you would choose to make him king in your life. And it doesn't matter if you don't know what that means. Yet that comes in time. So if that's you, or if you'd like to just acknowledge Jesus as king in your life again, then I'd just encourage you to join me in saying this simple prayer. Just join in with Amen at the end. So Jesus, I choose to recognize you as king in my life. I thank you that you are this gentle king who came on a donkey and who just invites me to get to know you. Would you show me the things that I need to lay down before you, the things I cling on to? I pray that this Easter you would help me understand afresh who you are and how my life can be different knowing you. Amen. And if that's the first time that you've ever acknowledged Jesus as King in your life, I'd love to hear from you. Or tell someone nearby, tell your small group leader if you're in a small group, because it's really significant. We'd love to celebrate that with you. And then through this morning, I've been talking about opportunities to respond for people who would like to have more of those words of knowledge I talked about, would like to hear God speaking to them. Or people who'd like to step into that authority of operating in Jesus' name. And if you'd like to respond to either of those things, or if you've come with anything that you'd like prayer for, I'll just invite you to come forward and I'll find someone lovely to pray for you and just bless what God's doing in your life. So if that's you, it's a response thing. I don't think you get to step into new authority without actually physically stepping forward. I think there's some more of you. I think some of you know that you've been doing this but want to see more. This is for everyone. I think there are some people still to come out, but if you are a regular part of a small group, would you like to come and join me in praying for some of these guys? We've got a few minutes before we need to go get the children.
Hi, while we've been talking this morning, I've kept being nudged by God to talk about somebody here is either struggling with depression or knows somebody that's really, really in a bad way and feels that there's no way out. And if there is anybody here that's in that state, I'd love to pray for you.
Thanks, Annette. So yeah, that word from Annette, about anyone struggling with depression, that's one of these words of knowledge. And sometimes God just gives us little nuggets of information to link us up so people can get prayed for. So if that does ring true with you at some point, if you find Annette, she'd love to pray for you. I'll let these guys just carry on praying. But if you do have children in Vineyard Kids, the leaders will be expecting you in the next few minutes if you'd like to make your way to get them. And just to say thank you for coming to Leeds Vineyard this morning, and I hope that you manage to enjoy the sunshine this afternoon. And we'll see you next week.